The star is Tom Cruise. The director is Sidney Pollack. The screenwriters include David Rabe and Robert Town. And the book it's based on is John Grisham's bestseller, The Firm. Can this movie lose? Film critic Stephen Schiff went to find out.
At first, you just sit there and let the sheer professionalism of it all wash over you. The stars are lively and commanding. The supporting performances by people like Gene Hackman and Gary Busey and Holly Hunter and Ed Harris are all little gems. The screenwriting pulses, the direction gallops. Tom Cruise may still have the screen presence of an excitable Rice Krispie, but that's perfectly appropriate here. He plays Mitch McDeer, a poor kid who's become a hotshot at Harvard Law School and is now being wooed by the biggest firms in New York, Chicago, and L.A. Why he even bothers to show up for the interview with a small Memphis outfit called Bendini, Lambert, and Locke is hard to fathom. But then, these guys are unusually smooth. They set up a meeting in a suite at the Copley Plaza Hotel in Boston, and instead of letting Mitch just open the envelope and read their offer, they goad him into using his best courtroom manner on them. He cross-examines them into telling him what they propose.
Mr. McKnight, you are the managing partner at Bendini, Lambert, and Locke, is that correct?
Yes.
Did Mr. Lambert, as senior partner, give you any instructions regarding my employment?
He did.
And Mr. McKnight, do you usually follow Mr. Lambert's instructions?
Objection. Vague, ambiguous.
Sustained.
What precisely were those instructions?
That you were in great demand, and I should make certain that we obtain your services before a bidding situation developed.
How did you go about making certain?
I bribed a clerk in the Harvard Law Placement Office for the exact amount of the highest offer. And then added 20%.
That's clever screenwriting. And there's a lot of it in this movie, as Mitch and his wife, played by Gene Triplehorn, accept the firm's enticing offer and move to Memphis. Then the sinister stuff starts happening. The firm's partners have been dying in mysterious ways, and Bendini Lambert seems to want entirely too much control over its employees. Meanwhile, the FBI is looking into the firm's dirty dealings. They need a mole on the inside, and they've decided Mitch is their man. By now, the movie is coiling around Mitch like a python. Does he stay loyal to the firm and possibly follow his superiors to jail? Or does he go along with the FBI, get disbarred, and wind up in a witness protection program, with his heart in his mouth every time he turns his ignition key? John Grisham's novel was a pretty clumsy piece of writing, but it took this plot and really made it move. It was essentially an 80s story about a greedy kid outwitting his greedy law firm, and the kid, in the end, took the money and ran to the ends of the earth. Grisham's book was vulgar and nasty, not brainy or refined, but juicy. The movie, meanwhile, is brainy and refined, but a lot of the juice is gone. The screenwriters have reworked the plot so that McDeer might just manage to win and keep his integrity as a lawyer, too. It's a 90s approach grafted onto an 80s premise, and the hybrid never quite takes root in your imagination. Pollack's expert chase scene seems strangely out of sync with the delicate legalisms of Mitch's big scheme. And by the time you walk out of the movie, a hefty 2.5 hours later, you feel you've just watched a giant chess game, only with lots of running. The firm is an unusual case. How often do you see a Hollywood movie that's too good for its own good?
Stephen Schiff is critic at large for The New Yorker.